Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. I am here, actually, in Roswell, New Mexico today. So I'm in Roswell, and my guest is in Colorado. And she was hoping to come down, but she didn't get the chance. But we're going to bring her on. So, Connie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy.
Now, Connie, you missed out on a little bit. We came down to Roswell today, and we got to see some pretty interesting things. But that's right. So let's talk a little bit about you, Connie. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about who Connie happens to be? And then I'm going to just ask you a lot of questions.
Okay. Well, I guess I would describe myself mainly as an artist, and my artistic endeavors have taken many directions over my lifetime. I also have a background in business. I started in the corporate world in Chicago at 17, so spent a lot of years there, and that influences and contributes to what I have done throughout my life. My purpose, I feel, in life is to help be a part of positive change and to see a difference in the type of housing that we create, not only in this country but worldwide, that fits today's needs and solves today's problems. And I feel that's my part of contributing to the energy solution, the housing solution, a lot of other things, and hoping to help restore humanity and Mother Earth to a bit of harmony.
That's a big mouthful, isn't it, Connie?
Yes.
That's all right. The reason why, Connie, I asked you to actually come on this show is for a couple reasons. One, because I agree with you wholeheartedly about the housing that's going on right now. But also, you're going to be designing school for me, the School of Now. And so I'm going to have you explain a little bit of the design that you've put together for my school. And then after that, I'm going to talk to you more about the domes themselves. So when I first met you, I asked you to do what for me?
Help you create a school for the ADD/ADHD children in Belen, New Mexico on 26 acres that is being donated for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you now have 6 pages of your drawings on paper and in color. So you'll get to see them when you return home tonight.
That would be great. Now, the designs that I wanted was different than other things also. Is that not true?
It is. Nancy, you already had a pretty clear understanding of what was needed. So you will be ending up with 17 or possibly 18 monolithic dome structures created in the design of a pyramid, the interior of which will be a courtyard or safe area for the children. It will house 350 children who will be resident students and 150 who will be day students, and they will range from ages 5 through 17 at this point, with the thoughts that later on you might include an adult facility.
Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it?
It is pretty cool. I just had another artist take a look at the colors, and they love it. It matches the landscape beautifully.
Good. Now, I chose the monolithic dome for a very special reason, Connie. And you've been working with the monolithic dome for a while. So could you explain to the listeners why I, as a person, would think the monolithic domes would be the best buildings for a school, or in fact?
Okay, I'll be happy to. Let me just take a minute here and give a little background on the domes, if I may, which I think is important in understanding their true value. David South is the founder and president of Monolithic Dome Institute in Itley, Texas. He has been a dome enthusiast since he was a very young boy in high school, and he happened to listen to a presentation on the geodesic dome, and from that moment on, he wanted to build really large domes. Today, he holds a patent on the dome technology that will allow the construction of a dome up to 1,000 foot in diameter. He hasn't built that large yet, but he has the patent for it. His domes also have been approved by FEMA. Currently, my builder is in Ohio building some shelters there. That's FEMA shelters, and going to do a fire station, it looks like, before heading for Texas, and then hopefully to do yours. The domes themselves are the oldest structure in the world. The unique engineering qualities of today's monolithic dome technology has roots that's grounded in over two centuries of history. Rome's Pantheon, even the older tombs of Greece, Istanbul, the Near East, and India have survived the test of time in better condition than their modern rectangular roofed counterparts. In 1946, when the atomic bombing of Hiroshima left only one structure standing near ground zero, that happened to be the skeleton of a dome that was built in 1915. That structure has now been restored and serves as the A-bomb dome memorial even today. The infamous Hagia Sophia, AD 537, the Pantheon, AD 124, stand in all their glory as testimony to the longevity of the dome's engineering and construction qualities. The Pantheon is a 140-foot diameter dome, and it holds the distinction of being the oldest continuous used structure in the world. Now, what's interesting for people today, the modern structures that we create tend to last maybe 50 years if we're lucky. Even with the most energy efficient efforts, they do not come close to the monolithic dome process, and they are totally destructible by everything that comes along, from hurricanes to earthquakes to tornadoes. Anything comes along can destroy them. The monolithic dome has been termed virtually indestructible by FEMA, and the reasons for that is that the domes have withstood everything that's come at it, from 4-5 hurricanes, 400 miles an hour winds, tornadoes, earthquakes. They're completely unburnable. They won't rot. They can't be eaten by bugs. They're not susceptible to mildew or mold. They are the safest structure that we have in this country, short of a Atlas F missile silo, which we might get into a little later, one of my projects, to protect life and limb, if you will. The other qualities, in addition to their strength and their longevity, they're also, as I said, disaster-proof, so they're virtually safe for any of the inhabitants. They're economical and conservative to use. The energy requirements are about a fourth what they are in a conventional building. A test was done at one time on one of the domes in Italy, Texas, by an independent company to determine the loss of air from the inside out. A typical constructed home would have an area equal to a doorway where you would be losing air. The dome had such tight fitting and so on that they couldn't even measure it, but they estimated that it could have the loss of maybe the width of two pencil leads, if you can imagine. Quite a difference there. So once you heat or cool a dome, essentially it stays warmer, it stays cold, whichever you wish. Large domes have been tested time and again, and from winter to summer in very extreme weathers, they will not vary more than 20 degrees. That's without any outside influence, or about 2 degrees per day. And so this makes it very simple, very low cost, very efficient to heat and to cool. You don't have a roof, and the roof is a thing that costs a lot to maintain. You also, your outside structure is a very plain airform. It's very simple, again, to maintain. So your maintenance costs are just virtually nothing on a dome. They have beauty. One of the problems that I've encountered over the years I've worked with the domes is that no one's really put a lot of energy into creating something that will blend into today's architectural style. So, if I may, I have a book coming out later this year. It's entitled The New American Dream Home, and it will simply be 40 different designs of 8 architectural styles, and its purpose is just marrying the monolithic dome technology with architecture that we already have existing in this country so that it will blend harmoniously into the neighborhoods. And that can be done, and it can be done either very elegantly and expensive, or it can be very modest in cost and be some real simple things that changes the whole appearance and takes away what we perceive as the dome look. As I said, the comfort inside a dome is just tremendous. The energy that you feel in there for whatever purpose you're using it is wonderful. The safety and security. So you have to add all those things up to see the real value of the dome. Likewise, it can be built for the same or less cost than a conventional building, depending on the area, the builder, and many other factors. But then your maintenance and your energy costs over the years are so much lower than in the others that it's just a logical choice for today. And considering the elements that we have out there today and the worsening weather patterns that we're seeing all the time, the dome is, it's the one thing that can stand up to all of it and keep everyone safe. So with all those things in mind, Nancy, I believe that's why you had chosen the dome when you came to me.
You're absolutely correct. And the way you described it, and the, because a lot of people have seen, but they mostly have seen the geodesic domes, which are, you know, they look like triangles all put together. Mm-hmm. But the monolithic dome isn't like that, not really.
No, it
and
isn't.
The styles that I saw that you had already created were really very, very pretty. And like you said, fit right into modern times. Now, tell us what your book is going to be about again, Connie, and then I'm going to ask you some more questions.
Oh, okay. Well, my book, again, it's The New American Dream Home, and it is simply exterior designs. There's no floor plans in it, and it's monolithic dome conceptual designs. Purpose of it is just to expand homeowners' or other folks' imagination. These are all residential in the book, by the way, not commercial. To expand the imagination so that you can come up with ideas and work with your architect or work with your designer to create a home that will blend into an existing neighborhood and yet give you all the benefits of the monolithic dome.
Which is kind of neat. Another thing about the domes that a lot of people are under the impression that it takes a very long time to build them.
No, that's completely untrue. The time period is considerably shorter than it is for conventional construction, simply by the process itself. It goes up very, very quickly. For instance, I am getting ready to do a church sanctuary and an educational building in Borger, Texas. One is an 80-foot dome and one is a 60-foot dome. And our time frame for completing both of those and furnishing them is 6 months.
And that's like really quick. So a lot of people are probably sitting here going, a dome. How many square feet is in a dome? So say, for example, if it was a 60-foot dome, what kind of square footage would people be looking at?
Square footage is not limited, first of all, in a dome. You can do domes of any size, any combination, any number of domes. They can be attached to each other, or they can be separate and have a breezeway or something between them. So when it comes to size, they're all over the board. As I said, the patent goes up for one type of a dome clear to 1,000 foot, so your imagination can go as far as it wants there. If you are looking at a 60, let me see if I got some numbers in front of me here, Nancy. 60-foot dome, if it were a single story, I think you're looking at about 2,400 square feet, something like that. And, of course, many people will do a second story or an open loft type configuration. I'm also very fond of what we call the Sky Dome, which if any of you have been to Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, you've looked up and seen that blue sky, and I think that might be where the idea for the Sky Dome came from, but you leave the center of the facility pretty well open and treat it like the exterior of the buildings, and then your rooms are behind all that, and you're looking up at a blue sky. Gives it a wonderful feeling and a wonderful environment for entertaining and so on.
Okay, neat. Now, when it comes to the dome, they can be just about any shape, any size. Is that correct?
Right. They can. You know, it doesn't have to be the typical perfect dome. There's several configurations of a dome that you can have, and they can vary in height and they can vary in size. So you have a choice of a lot of different ways to go with a dome. They're one of the most flexible in design of any type of construction there is out there. And they can be used for residential. They can be used for business. We're starting to see more live-work type domes where you have an office or some type of a business on the lower level and you have the living quarters above it. That seems to be coming back into some of the newer design communities that we're seeing around the country. You can use it for schools, of course, not only yours, Nancy, but there's a college in Rochester, Minnesota, very much in need of student housing. So we have put together some duplex-type domes up there, three stories. These would house 1,473 students, and they're located on 21 acres in a very much a park-like setting. So it can be certainly used for student housing, teachers to accommodate them, all types of schools, spiritual centers, sanctuaries, educational buildings, anything else that might be needed there. As I said, the office and work environments for all types of commercial applications, from bulk storage to you name it, when you get into that realm of it. And they're certainly one of the greatest income-producing properties for anyone who's interested in having low maintenance, low energy cost, a low cost to construct, and you're just almost guaranteed a very high occupancy by the nature of it and the rentals that you can charge. So they're very attractive when applied to income-producing properties. Now, my most neat one, most unusual one, is the survival condos created by Larry Hall from Raven Research in Florida. There is one that he now owns, and possibly there may be four of these that we will do, depending on one investor in Texas who may want a large number of units for family and friends. And if so, we'll not do one, but four of them. These are one of the old Atlas F missile silos. It's 143 feet deep and 52 feet wide, and it will have 13 floors below ground that will house 50 people for up to 5 years in comfort. I should almost say luxury. It has everything from a swimming pool, workout area, a gym, a library, a lounge, classroom for the students. The food will be all organic, of course, and supplied by hydroponic and aquaculture. The cap for it will be an 85-foot monolithic dome that's, again, reinforced. The dome process is an air form that's blown up and kept inflated. You go inside and spray in 3 inches of foam. You come back in, and according to the engineer, you do a complete network, a mesh of rebar, and then you come back in and spray the shotcrete, which is a special form of concrete, on the inside of your dome. And that's what gives it its strength, it's what gives it its insulation, and it's the way those are put together that makes it such a superior product to the other methods of construction out there. So the monolithic dome that we will use for the cap on this one will have that structure, and then it will have another network of rebar on the exterior and another 4 more inches of concrete. So we believe that it probably could withstand anything that comes along in the future, and who knows what that will be. But that is the hope anyway. So that will be one of the strongest ones that's been created.
When you're talking about something being 13 floors below the ground, I'm sure a lot of people would get very claustrophobic. So you're actually doing murals to make things look like they're really not underground. Is that correct?
We're doing a lot of things down there from a psychological standpoint, and yes, murals is one of those. The swimming pool area, for instance, will have a mural above it. It's very open. It's two stories. The workout area is just a small portion on the upper level of that. It will be 16 feet high, and it will have a mural of the Caribbean. So hopefully when you see the edge of the swimming pool, you have the sense that it just moves on out across the waters. There will be murals completely around the two floors where the food is prepared and grown. And the supplies for all the residents, instead of just being in cartons in a warehouse somewhere, because there will be a lot of supplies kept there, we're doing an old-fashioned 1890s Kansas store, and we'll have murals through the windows that looks like an old-fashioned Kansas town at that time. So, yes, we're going to do that, and then each one of the residential units is going to have a changeable, if you will, video type mural. My client calls it a window mural. And the clients can, or the residents can change that to whatever scenes they want to. So they can literally bring anything with them and program it into that. They'll also have complete access to every bit of information that's out on the World Wide Net at this point. It will be programmed into the center there in case they should at some point be cut off and be in lockdown mode. At least there will be tons and tons of information. It might even become history that gets stored there. Who knows?
Which would probably not be a bad idea. Now, the other thing about the domes themselves, you can have different kinds of windows in them. You can have it half glass. You can have it half dome. Is that true?
You can do all types of shapes. When you are designing in a dome, I'm finding it very, very much fun, but you don't use the same methods and ideas that you do for a rectangular building, of course. So, yes, you're going to find all types of shapes and windows. For instance, I could have a complete circle in a window. Our arched windows are very common in certain parts of a dome because they lend to the dome shape itself. And the windows can be set way back in. On your school, of course, they're going to be set back in because we're going to do very heavily into the passive solar, and so the overhang will do the shading to prevent the sun from coming into the classroom or the residential areas during the main part of the day when it's hot. And yet in the wintertime, when it's needed, it will allow it to come in. So, there's an awful lot to be done in the way of design, but you have a multitude of choices. And in my book, I'm showing all kinds of window treatments in addition to that. For instance, I have one that's a Cajun country style to be built near Lafayette, Louisiana. And that one has wood shutters that's typical of the style for that era. Some of the others have balconies and different ironwork and all kinds of treatment around them. So just many, many ways that you can go with your window door treatments and all the different things that give it a personality of its own.
Mm-hmm, great. When people talk about being off the grid, can you explain what that means as far as housing and everything goes?
Sure. It's probably where we all need to be today, but we're a long ways from being there. I'm always amused when people say, oh, my goodness, off the grid, no electrical hookup. Oh, you got to have a backup system. And I say, you know, I live in a little community in the mountains, and I would say about every 2 months our power goes out. And I know there's some areas where there's big cities. We've had power out for days, and it's been real devastating. Well, if you're off the grid, and particularly if you're relying upon the sun and perhaps wind for your power, it's going to be there all the time for you. There is no such thing as a blackout. So that's probably one of the biggest advantages with the way things are going and the expense of conventional electricity. The other one is that it's very low cost. The sun is free. Your equipment, if you are going with photovoltaics for a conventional, for a residential property, say a 2,000 square foot home, probably would cost you between $15,000 and $20,000. If you're in an area where you have as much sun as we do in the Southwest and you really work with passive solar design, you can pick up most of your energy just from that. Wind generators are becoming more affordable. There are smaller ones out there now that are used by individuals or small communities and so on, and I'm hoping that grows. I'm working with one person who's very involved in that technology and trying to get some patents and a prototype out that would indeed allow very affordably to have the units either on the homes or for each individual residence or in the cities, perhaps on top of the high-rise buildings, and they could supply energy for that whole building and maybe a couple of surrounding ones. So there's a long ways to go with how we utilize that. And from what I understand from our power company here, the biggest hurdle to overcome is not in getting the energy itself, but the transmission of the energy to the end user. And that's where the cost and the difficulties have come in, more so than the power source itself. So when someone is off-grid, they simply are not connected to a conventional electric company power source. They have their own private source, either wind, solar, perhaps water in some cases. I have property in Ecuador, and ours is hydroelectric down there.
Woodstock, I mean, now, but all of those different off-the-grid systems can all be used with the dome.
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm. And in some areas, particularly up here where I live, a lot of people do have some of the other sources, and they take care of their own needs by that, and they sell back to the electric company. Ours is a pretty progressive little company, and they have to have, by their bylaws and so on, regulations, a certain percentage of alternative energy. And so a number of people that I know around here, they sell back their extra wind power, their solar power, whatever, to the electric company.
Which is all, you know, pretty neat stuff. And it's coming, and it's something that's very much needed. The other thing for the domes being in the school, I also chose that because I don't like that, the like when a wall meets and they stop and then there's that corner. It like it slows energy or something, and
right.
I didn't like that. But a smooth surface all the way around is constant flow of energy coming in. Mm-hmm. And then to me, that would be helping the children keep their energy more stable rather than very jagged as they walk from, you know, different rooms that all have those sharp
right.
corners. Would you say that is a very good idea also as far as the energy goes for children?
It is, for children and for everyone for that matter. And I'm very much enjoying designing with freeform walls and flowing walls and circular patterns and so on like that, that does allow the energy to flow and doesn't have it trapped in some corner, as you said. I'm very much in agreement with that, and I can't see that accomplished in a conventional rectangular building anywhere close to what you can do with the dome. So your school is certainly going to have a flow and a circular pattern to it.
Yeah, I just, when I first looked at domes, I was 12 years old, and I walked into one, I said, I have to be here. This is where I've got to be. So from the time I was 12 until now, which is almost 40 years, okay, all I've wanted is a dome. And then when the school came to me, I thought, man, the best thing for the school would be to have it in multiple domes so that they're all connected, totally, totally safe, because, you know, a lot of things that's probably going to be coming in today's world that we really don't like to talk about, but probably going to be pretty much factual, is it would make it a very safe haven, and not only for kids, but even for the community in case of disaster or, you know, people need to be there.
Right.
Would that also, you know, for the domes, because I have so many, do you think that would help out a community?
Yes. In fact, there is a community in Missouri that FEMA provided funding for 90% of what's called their multi-use or gymnasium for the school, because this town is situated in Tornado Alley and got wiped out a time or two. And likewise, the domes that my builder's building in Ohio are also survival shelters. So anywhere that a larger dome goes up, such as you will have for your multi-purpose room, 120-foot diameter, you can house a lot of people in there in an emergency. And those are becoming more and more popular, and people are becoming more and more aware of them. And hopefully that means that there's going to be quite a bit of grant money coming from FEMA as long as they're open to the public in the instance of an emergency. In your case, my goodness, you've got to have 17 or 18 domes out there. You can take care of not only Berlin but half of Albuquerque.
Which is going to be a good idea, I think, in the long run. The other thing about the colors of the dome, is there any, you know, like, can the dome on the outside, we'll start with the outside first, can it be made to be colorful, you know, is it just a white, how does that work, Connie?
Well, you start with the aeriform on a dome, and the aeriform is like a big balloon. It's probably the simplest way to explain it, except it's very, very strong and will last approximately 50 years. If you coat it in about 15, it'll last even longer. I've seen some of the aeriforms that have been 15 years and not been treated and touched, and they look perfectly fine to me. But the aeriform itself does come in a variety of colors. In fact, I'm sitting here holding the samples in front of me because I knew you'd ask that question today. Starting with the aeriform, you have everything from a kind of a khaki color to a very light off-white to pretty well a white to a nice tan, to a gold, and the church I'm doing is in copper, and from a distance you could never tell that it's not metal on that roof, if we want to call it a roof. In this case, it'll be the upper portion of the dome. Now, you can go from there to doing a lot of things. Once the aeriform's up, that gives you the basic shape of the dome. You can add anything you want to that. There can be stone on the exterior. There can be tile on the exterior. There can be just any multitude of different construction materials used to create the look that you want and the colors that you want. For instance, one home I'm getting ready to do has a very southwestern look, so it's going to have some red tile roofing attached to it, at least over the sun porch that adjoins it. And the dome colors on that one will be much brighter, much more the southwestern colors. The church that I'm doing has the copper roof, and it has a very soft kind of pinkish brown lower portion to it, and that will be done in stucco. We'll simply have a divider where normally the roof would be, and the lower portion of it then will be in stucco, and it will be a harmonizing color to that. Your colors, which you haven't seen yet, but I'm getting ready to send you, I'm very much of the Frank Lloyd Wright ilk, and so I like things to blend into their surroundings. And when you and I stood on the property out there that day, we saw this wonderful silvery green sage, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background, we had these very beautiful kind of muted purple mountains in the distance. So guess what two colors went into the exterior of your dome?
I would tend to think it may have been the silver green and the purple, which are really the colors. You know, for people who have never been to New Mexico, the colors down here are gorgeous. The land that we're talking about, one side is all mountain view, and the land is flat, and then it has a small, but a hill to it. So it's really, really pretty, and looking out from any direction has got a very, very pretty view. Which is the other reason why, for me, when it comes to the kids, I want them to see things. I have to apologize because we're outside, and so if you're hearing all these weird noises, it's because we're outside yet at Roswell. But, you know, it has to be nice for the kids. They have to enjoy it. And looking out on those mountains, they're very peaceful. You know, looking out at that little hill, it all looks very peaceful. So those colors will be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It has a wonderful feel, Nancy. We're standing out there. And I think your campus is going to blend into the whole scene. And that's really what you want it to do, to bring the type of serenity and so on. And the interior, I haven't started on colors there except for your younger children. I do have the color schemes worked out for their dormitories. And those will be a little more enticing with blues and greens and purples and so on put together with their bedding and their housing and so on. We're designing units for them that have their little wardrobes, their little desks, their little beds, everything all combined. And so for the little ones, you know, those will be a little more colorful perhaps. The children, as they get a little bigger, will go to some really nice woods. And, of course, the teenagers, we're doing a very simple kind, almost a zen look for them with their bedding and so on. And we'll work with the colors on the interior to create the harmony and the balance that you want and to keep everything serene and peaceful and create an environment. Now, part of that environment is going to be your lighting coming in, too. To me, that's very essential to have the natural lighting for every student, every work area, and that's what we will endeavor to do in all of their study areas, and of course also as I work with your classrooms, we're going to have the natural lighting coming in there and colors that really tend to soothe, if you will, not irritate or whatever. And so I think the overall energy that you're going to find in the dome, from the lighting to the colors to the circular shapes and the free-flowing lines is going to achieve what you hope to as far as working with the children.
Makes me want to go back to school and start all over again.
Yeah.
And well, I'm sure a lot of people will feel the same.
Sure. Well, it'll be very fortunate children that get to attend your school, that's for sure.
You know, and I'm just all totally excited. I mean, I was very excited when I met you because I thought, okay, now this person really knows what she's talking about, so let's just get her involved. But the domes themselves, I mean, mm-hmm. just in general, okay, for everyday people, to me, the energy is there, the safety is there, the cost efficiency is there, you know, the savings as far as utility is there, you know, so I kind of have to sit back and ask myself, you know, what it would take to get basically the world to wake up and understand that they could have things like this that could last for a lot longer and in the long run cost a lot less money. So, and I don't know the answer to that, Connie, only because people are so set in their ways. And, you know, like when we first talked to you, they said, oh, you're building an igloo. I'm going to live in an igloo. Right. Isn't that some of the comments that you heard?
Oh, yes. That's real typical of the dome because just the basic shape that you do see in a single little monolithic dome, it does lend itself to look like an igloo if you don't do anything to change that look.
Yeah, but now there's lots of designs that people can do.
Yes. Well, there is, and that's one reason that I felt a need for this little book. Now, the other part of my business has been for the last 7 years nationwide to attempt to obtain financing for residential in particular, but then I have branched into commercial and income-producing properties as well, but to find financing for the domes. Now, for schools, churches, and commercial use, there's not the type of resistance that you find for residential, so that's why I focused my book on the residential. Because if it's going to be accepted in general around the country, I think that people are going to have to start looking at doing more in design with the domes to help them blend into the neighborhoods and to not have so much resistance from the building departments. I had a couple years ago clients up in Utah that a young couple that did everything in the world to get to build their monolithic dome up there, and the building department absolutely refused. They told them they had to have a sloped roof. They went back and put a little cupola, I don't know, some decorative type things to give it the same look and did some other things, and they were never successful in getting it through. I found that to be even more alarming a few years ago when I spent a couple weeks in New Orleans after Katrina. I guess it was about 3 years, 2 or 3 years after Katrina, and I took a trip from New Orleans over to Ocean Springs. That's a 90-mile strip along there. They'd been totally devastated by the hurricane, and I took flyers and went into every one of those neighborhoods. Even that long after Katrina, people were still out there in their little FEMA trailers, are in the areas where the people were a little wealthier. They were sitting on their land, which most of them had cleared, and they were in a nice, comfortable RV. But they were all waiting for insurance money, and they wanted to rebuild their homes in that area. So I didn't go knock on doors, but if anyone was out walking the dog, or in some cases there were a lot of people out, I went up and introduced myself, and I simply asked them if they realized that they did not necessarily have to build back the same type of rectangular roof structure that just blew away, that there were alternatives and choices out there that could stand up to the next hurricane. And to my surprise, a number of people had educated themselves, and they had come to the realization that the only thing that can stand the force of a hurricane is something that has a dome shape to it, because it deflects force. It doesn't hit it straight on like it does a rectangular structure. However, a number of those folks had gone to their local building departments and approached them about doing some type of a concrete dome and were turned down because they didn't, quote, look antebellum. They didn't fit into the neighborhood. And that's actually how my book was born. I came back from that experience very upset. I was actually physically sick from going through all that, talking to all the people and seeing what they were suffering through in so many ways, and knowing that they were pretty much going to be forced to go back and build what just blew away. A lot of them left the area, of course, at that time, and a big company came in and bought up an awful lot of the oceanfront property, and when I was there, they were putting up casinos and big high-rise motels and so on. So I came back home, and a couple months later, I get information from all over the country, from all kinds of websites and people everywhere. If they find any domes or any type of alternative earth-friendly structures, they'll send me information and pictures. One of them sent me the picture of a little, it's actually a geodesic dome, and it sits out in the middle of Oklahoma. And it has porches and a little cupola on the top and some other factors, and it looks so antebellum it wasn't even funny. And I looked at that little picture. It's an older dome, and it had sold recently. And at that moment, I knew we could change how we were designing these domes so that they did have a better chance of fitting into it. So you'll see in my book that you can hardly recognize there's a dome underneath some of these structures. They really take on the type of architecture that's in the neighborhood, and the dome just becomes secondary as far as appearance. And gone is the igloo look that we're so familiar with. So that's how my book came to be, and hopefully some of the areas such as along the shore of New Orleans and some of these others might become a little more accepting of the dome configuration if it's, well, we'll call it camouflage for lack of a better word, but if it has a different look to it. And hopefully more and more people will realize the overall value, that it's not just building a dome, but that you've got all these seven or eight factors that make it a superior construction method, a superior home to any other that you're going to be able to build, and it's going to be there for centuries. I don't have any mortgage clients in this country that have built a dome that haven't built it with the express purpose of passing it on for generations and generations. One of my clients in Weatherford, Texas, little grandson, when they were finishing their dome, he very brilliantly looked up at Grandma one day and said, "You mean, Grandma, someday this will be mine?" And she said, "Yes, of course it will be. We're building it for, you know, now and for the future." So hopefully, if enough people, and by the number of calls that I'm getting today, I have very few resources today to help people. I used to broker for over 70 lenders. I'm down to about 4, and I only have 2 that will even talk to me about monolithic domes today. And those are rural properties, and they have to be on acreage. So I've got a long list of people needing help that I just have nothing to offer right now. But what amazes me is, over the 7 years I've been doing this, now, my name has gotten on an awful lot of websites, and people do call me from all over, but the number of calls has increased tremendously in the last year and a half. I would say, average 8 to 10 a day new people looking for some help with doing a monolithic dome or an earth sheltered home or something of that nature. So I think the awareness and the consciousness is spreading. It's just not fast enough. But there are more and more people aware of it, and likewise, they just cannot believe today that there's no money available for it when our president is promoting green, energy efficient, and all the other things that we need to be doing in this country. And yet, here's a large segment of the population willing to contribute very substantially to seeing all those things happen by the way they build their homes, and there's no money out there for them to build them. Very sad, and it's very hard for a lot of them to believe that that's the situation.
It really is. This little thing is a car going off next to me.
I hear it.
There they go. Connie, one of your friends just got into the car with me. I'm going to let her say hi to you. Her name is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Connie. How are you?
I'm good. Are you enjoying Roswell?
Very interesting for an East Coast girl to be in ET country. Actually, it's a beautiful day. They have some pretty awesome stuff here.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it when I was there last year.
Yeah. Well, I'll pass you back to Nancy.
Okay, enjoy your visit.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're here in Roswell, and it was a little different. She's not really gone through here before, and it was a lot of fun. You know, so we were having a pretty good time. We went and saw a couple things. We went to the UFO Museum, and we were hoping you could actually come down here and join us, but we know that you couldn't, and that's
okay. Yeah, that would have been great.
Now, Connie, with the domes, if somebody would like to get in touch with you about the dome, how do they go about mm-hmm. doing that?
Well, they can call me, they can email me, or they can mail me, I guess. So snail mail takes a long time to get here. I do have a tremendous amount of information on them. I work very close with the Monolithic Dome Institute in Italy, Texas. I'm familiar with, I believe, all of the builders of domes in this country. A couple of them are getting ready to do some construction for my company. I do have and have had Mountain Home Classics since, oh, let's see, 1999, I guess, I opened the doors on that business. I used to design and build custom log homes, and some years back I kind of stopped one time and turned away about 8 homes and said, no, I want to do something that's totally earth-friendly. I want to work more with community concepts, and I want to start creating in that area. So I changed the direction of my company at that time, and I got very busy with financing homes for people that were earth-friendly, and that was kind of, I got into that mainly just to finance for my clients originally, and then I found that there was such a dire need and that no one was doing it. And I built some good relationships over the time until our recent financial situation. I had a 98% closing ratio for over five years with all those homes nationwide. And the interesting thing that people need to recognize is the people who commit to doing a monolithic dome or an earth-friendly home of some type have planned it for a long time. They're very stable people. They're very committed people, and they put everything into it. So for all of the defaulted loans out there, I'm happy to say that my clients, to my knowledge, to this day, have not contributed to a single one of them.
That's great.
And
now,
I think
do you have an
that
email?
Says an awful lot for the type of clientele that build these homes.
Oh, it does. Now, Connie, do you want to give out your email address?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You can reach me at MCM, stands for Mountain Classic Mortgages, at skyworks.com, and Skyworks is spelled a little quirky. It's SKYWERX. My telephone number is 970-731-0640.
And
if you,
mm-hmm. go ahead.
If you do want to mail me, it's PMB 290, 135 Country Center Drive, B as in boy 5, Pagosa Springs, PAGOSA, Colorado, 81147.
I'm going to have you repeat every one of them. So repeat them again, please.
Surely. Okay. It's MCM, Mountain Classic Mortgages, at Skyworks, SKYWERX.com, 970-731-0640. And the mailing address is PMB 290, 135 Country Center Drive, B as in boy 5, Pagosa Springs, Colorado, 81147. And if you do want to fax me, it's 970-731-0641.
Okay.
And my fax is always on 24/7, and of course emails I check very often. So those are probably the best two methods to catch me most of the time.
And now the silo one that you're doing, the 13
mm-hmm.
floors below
mm-hmm.
ground, how right. long do you think it's going to take to have it completed?
That's going to be very, very fast because really this silo is the safest structure in the country. It's even superior to the dome, of course. The old silos themselves have 9-foot thick concrete walls reinforced with 16 rows of the largest rebar I've ever seen for the first 3 floors going down. That's how they were constructed. They excavated a huge pit and did that portion of it, and then they went on down the under 142 feet and finished out the 52-foot diameter silo, and that was a continuous concrete pour, a slip pour. They moved the frame upward and they kept pouring concrete continuously until the complete silo was built. So what we're going to be doing, of course, is going back in and simply, it's all cleaned and cleared. It's the first one in the United States that's completely cleared. It was finished on April 30th. The old platform was pulled out of there in four pieces. They took it out with the crane, of course, and went down there and cut it into four sections to even get it out the door. And so now that it's all cleaned, it's simply a matter of going in and doing all the steel structure for the 13 floors, the elevator shaft, and the stairway that will serve it. And then we'll come in and just finish those out, so it's not like starting from scratch. And then we will, once all that's completed and everything's inside that's of any large size, then we will create the cap, which will be the 85-foot two-story dome. The dome itself, half of it will be warehouse, and the other half will be a very elegant hotel surrounding that will be used for a number of things. But for one, it will house the university students who will be there to create and maintain the hydroponics and the aquaculture during peaceful times so that they are available to the residents who own the condos if they want to get a better feel for what life might be like and living there underground, and they will be there as an educational tool for anyone who visits or owns property there. They might also be used as extra housing for guests of the owners and, you know, bed and breakfast type things. So the dome will go on top of it, and we are looking at a very short time frame to do all these. We're looking at probably 6 months, possibly 9 months on the outside to complete a single dome and the silos. And we not only have just the silo, but there's also a 40-foot two-story command facility that adjoins that silo underground by a tunnel. So that would be completed too. That's where the general store will be, the medical suites, and the computer command area. So all of that, we estimate 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, that's not bad. Now, Connie, our time is almost up. Do you believe that?
Wow, we've been jabbering.
But what I'd like you to do one more time before we really have to say goodbye to everybody, give out your emails, your snail mails, and your phone numbers and all that so that the people get it, okay?
Okay, Shirley, I'm happy to do that. And people are welcome to call me, I should say, at any time. Hopefully I'll have a lot of information to share with people. I'm happy to do any design work and business plans, which I'm starting to do for a lot of folks these days, to help them get going with their domes. And, you know, if I can provide financing, I'm happy to do that also. So you can reach me one more time. My companies are Mountain Classic Mortgages, and Mountain Home Classics is my design and construction company. You can reach me on the same number because they share an office here in Pagosa. And that's 970-731-0640. And the fax is 0641 if you do wish to fax me any information. You can reach me by computer
at
MCM at Skyworks, SKYWERX.com. And my snail mail address is PMB290, 135 Country Center Drive, B as in boy, 5, Pagosa Springs, Colorado, 81147. I'm also have a reservation list for my book. If anyone wants to be on that, it'll just simply steer us as to how large the first printing will be, because we're getting a lot of interest in it. So anyone that wants to put their name on that list, they're welcome to let me know, and I'll be happy to do that also. Hopefully it'll be out in the fall, certainly before the end of the year.
Great. Connie, it's been a pleasure having you on. Our time is almost up, and I can't wait to see the drawings. I'm looking forward to checking them out big time. And then they're going to go up on my website, so that if people want to look at it, you're going to go to www.childs, at C-H-I-L-D-S, miraclemind.org. And Connie, thank you very much for being part of the show, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you later tonight after I get home. Anyway.
Have a safe journey, and I'll have these up for you so you can at least get a quick look at how it's going to be.
Great. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank you, the listeners.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed the show. Consider what Connie's been talking about. Everybody should take a look at that, if for no other reason, to make sure that as the weather changes, you're in a very safe place to stay and live. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week. Take care. Bye now.